Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? It's your girl, Monique Leray, and this is The Startup with Monique Leray on LA Talk Radio. I am so excited about our show today. We have two amazing guests. The first one, and I hope I don't pronounce it wrong, Saman Kazani. Did I say it right?
Yeah, we couldn't go with Saman. It's like a Jamaican guy saying, Saman. Yama. Saman.
I love it. It's really unique, and so are you. And you're really someone that we need to hear from right now, Saman. And why don't you tell the listeners and the viewers who you are?
Sure. Well, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, practicing psychotherapy. I work with all different populations. I work with individuals, couples, group therapy, and I have a practice with young children as well.
Nice. Yes. And you are, you know, we met in LA out and about, and you've just been such an inspiration. I see that you're on, you know, Instagram posting positive things and really doing a lot for the community. And I really want to hear from you on some tips for people to stay grounded and motivated and healthy, you know, right now with this whole situation. And, you know, being entrepreneurs, it's already kind of a challenging thing. So adding something like this that adds more uncertainty on being an entrepreneur, what are some tips in how you can help?
Sure. First, I should say that the things I think I have to offer, they're not so mechanistic. It's not like, hey, here's this thing, you do this thing and you're going to feel completely better. It's a little more ambiguous than that, you know?
Okay.
We're in a time, I think, where you can go to one of really two extremes, right? There's a real pressure to feel okay and to feel inspired. So one of the reactions to this whole pandemic is, oh, make the best of it. Let's go, become a musician or do this or do that or do anything that kind of like puts you in a place in which you feel inspired, right? You feel very
inspired.
And the other side of that is just feeling completely hopeless and completely lost and feeling, you know, paralyzed in a way and not knowing how to go about. And I think part of taking care of ourselves at this time is tending to both sides of those extremes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do we, on the one hand, it's important to soothe ourselves and to give ourselves, you know, what we would call unconditional self-love and positive regard during a time in which there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of pain and a lot of unknown about the state of the world.
Sure.
And at the other end of that extreme, to really give ourselves a little bit of that discomfort and that challenge. You know, so much of psychological thought and philosophical thought says that it's in times of discomfort that the most growth takes place. So if I want to get more specific with this with you, I'd say what we can do for ourselves has the most to do with connection. Right now, it's a time of feeling disconnected. How can we feel more connected? There's a lot of ways to go about that. The most obvious way is to reach out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Literally reach out to people in our lives, to remember there are people there we can reach out to. I personally love making FaceTime calls, if possible. Yeah, it's visceral, right? You can feel the person there. You can hear their voice. There's something soothing about it. It has an effect on your body in a way. It could really calm you in that kind of way. And that's important for me, to really see somebody and talk to them. And I think it's a great time to reach.
Sure.
But then the question comes when you're kind of feeling in a hole or you're feeling in that dark place with yourself, how do you feel? How do you stay connected when someone's not there? How do you feel connected?
Yeah.
And there's so many different creative ways to do that. I mean, I personally have a lot of ways. The first way for me is to go towards the body.
Okay.
Go towards the body. You know, one would be focusing on your breath. You know, the breath is kind of the first and last way you know you're alive and you can feel connected to yourself. And there's so many meditations, breathwork exercises people can find out there that can really be useful for just in the best way they know how, coming back into their bodies.
Okay. And, you know, I like what you're saying, Annie. I'm guilty of it as well. I mean, you put it in a basic, you know, format to understand, and that is check in on both sides of how you're feeling. I automatically, as an entrepreneur, jump to how productive can I be? What can I get done? You know, and maybe that's not the healthiest way to go, making all these lists and, okay, I'm going to be home with all this time. How much stuff can I get done? Maybe as entrepreneurs, you know, startup people, you know, maybe checking in on both of those places within yourself is the way to go. And I like that you brought that up. I guess, you know, when we do that, where do we go when the dark thoughts come up? Because, you know, for a lot of us, we've started businesses and it's taken 10 years to get them where they are, you know, and you're finally getting some reward, you know, and it can get kind of dark when you think of, wow, am I going to have to start over all over again? And it's out of my control, you know, before you could control it a little bit more. Maybe some tips on that, you know, the dark stuff.
The question itself implies that you're in that place of anxiety, right? Yeah. You know, we're in that hole and we're thinking, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? That mentality in itself is what creates the darkness. It's being in that place of feeling like you have to be doing something. So if you're especially an entrepreneur who feel like you're a type A personality, let's say, who's completely fixated on how do I get myself to where I want to be, you might have to let go of the illusion of control during this time.
That's key. That's a good point. Yeah, come on.
easier said than done, right?
Easier said than done, yes. And, you know, yeah, guilty is charged, type A for sure. Probably type A plus if we're going to be funny about it. But, you know, I think you're right. There is the illusion of control, you know, as an entrepreneur that you want to try to keep, and maybe just letting go and implementing some control boundaries with yourself, you know, maybe like not obsessing about it.
And I don't want to say that as to say there's no control, but there's a way in which that could really be a hindrance. You know, we have to take into consideration with all of these self-soothing techniques too, there's a certain level of privilege that comes with it, right? And everyone's capable of only so much in their life. And so your question is essentially, how do we contain what's happening right now? And there's a level of this that's not containable. And as terrible as it is to say, there's something liberating about feeling into, hey, what's happening right now is not something I can contain. The pressure of feeling like you have to be more successful or you have to be doing something, it can create a cycle of shame. And being able to say, hey, I am a bit powerless in this, doesn't mean I'm just going to roll over, but yeah, I can adjust my expectations of what I should maybe be capable of.
I like that. I like that a lot. And then, you know, in return, you know, you are allowing that with other people in your life, you know, and people that you work with, and giving people a little bit more rope, you know, and space. That's healthy. All right. I'm going to switch it a little bit and just ask you, you know, what are you finding as far as exercises, you know, that we can do that are helpful, you know, while home, trying not to go, you know, stir crazy. If we're not in complete work mode, are there some tips and some exercises you could offer us?
You know, you cut out there for a second, but if I heard you correctly, you're saying more specific tips on what people can do in the moment when they're not working or obsessing with that. Yeah, yes. I think the first one I was getting at
my connection
was the breath. And I think we tend to simplify that. Like, oh, okay, but what else other than the breath? But that's a huge one. I want to reiterate that. To pick a space, pick a time for yourself.
Okay.
Giving myself this time, this amount of time, this amount of space to take a seat and to focus on your breath and your body from head to toe. And it's going to feel a little uneasy first minute or two, probably. But as you continue with that, there's a level of comfort that can come through your body through that experience. That's definitely one of them. I really like to encourage people to get involved in their inner muse in whatever way possible. And for each person, that's different. For some people, that's journaling. You know, to be able to spend some time in reflection and write about what they're experiencing, maybe honor to, you know, we got to honor the anxiety we're feeling. We can't say get over it. and we can't indulge in it either. So we need a place to say, hey, I need to sit down and write about the fact that I feel scared right now or concerned or not know where, you know, what I'm going to do with my family or my career or any of those kinds of things. Some people have a capacity to maybe paint. Some people play an instrument, you know, but that's a way of getting connected with yourself. Each thing I think we're talking about in terms of a tool is how do you get connected with yourself? And we have so many different kinds of ways of doing that.
I love that you simplified that. And, you know, I listen to Yala Van Zandt. She's a great spiritual teacher. And she says, get with your breath. So I love hearing you say that and like reiterate something that's really important. And yes, learning a language or doing some paintings or journaling, being your own muse, I think what a phenomenal technique and a suggestion. Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to like relationships, right? With a startup, we talk about business, but since we have you here, people being in tighter quarters, you know, with their loved ones, maybe spending a little too much time with people because they usually go away from the house for work. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for people who are, you know, running the household, you know, keeping the kids fed and, you know, well-read and trying to run their business and, you know, using your breath and all that is something that is essential, but what tips do you have for keeping relationships together at this time?
A relationship is about essentially the connection between the people, the two people or the family unit, right? So it takes a certain level of communication. So not to simplify it, but especially in a time right now where triggers are high and people are really feeling overwhelmed and not really getting much maybe time for themselves in those kinds of contexts.
Yeah.
It's especially important to be able to communicate what exactly you need. Some people might need more. They say, you know what, I can't explain it, but I'm lacking touch right now. You know, we're in a time in which people aren't getting to experience the kind of touch and closeness that they want. And I feel like I need a little bit more closeness with you in other ways because I'm not getting the touch right now. And I need to feel that. And other people might need a little more space. Other many people say, hey, there's a lot going on for me. You're still important for me. I still care about this, but this is a time I need for myself. I need to put some time aside to...
That's interesting. I like to bring that point up, actually, about needing more space because, you know, there's some people in my life where I'm seeing they're taking more space. And I'm doing that also in some areas and with some people. And I think, you know, that can be healthy, right? I mean, is it a personality type that you're based on, like, what you need or...
Well, I think that's interesting. I don't think it's one thing, but the question is, how do you respond to anxiety or feeling uncertainty or how do you attach to other people when things get difficult? And everyone has a different style, right?
Yeah.
And it's like anything. Like we often, I know this is a simpler kind of example, but when we talk about love languages, for instance, you know, a lot of people talk about the love languages. There's always this way in which we talk about, well, how much of something do you give to somebody and what's okay to give to someone? And it really comes down to knowing your partner, knowing the people in your family unit and being able to communicate, hey, this is what I personally need in these moments. This is how I respond in these moments.
Nice. Yeah. And you know, that's so true. And it really does, like you say, come back to connectability and sitting still with yourself, which is a scary thing for a lot of us doers, you know, as entrepreneurs, as movers and shakers, it's terrifying. Running around. It can be terrifying. Kind of crazy.
But this is the time for it. You know, this is actually, you know, I really am one of those believers that everything has a blessing in it. It doesn't mean that there's not a level of suffering that's going on. But I think one of the blessings of this for people who have trouble being with themselves is they're going to get that experience, whether they want it or not, you know,
and to really sit into that,
say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this. This is difficult, but this is going to actually expand who I am as an entrepreneur. Because the better you know yourself, you know, the things that make you uncomfortable, you know, the more that's going to make you more relatable in your practice and everything else you do.
People love
being connected with others who have an understanding of themselves. It makes them feel more comfortable, less judged, you know, more safe in that way.
That's an interesting point that you're sharing. So does that, and just kind of going on a side note on that point, Is that the reason why the ones, you know, keep it real or a little more direct people, a lot of people tend to gravitate towards that because it feels like they're being taken seriously and they can get the real story from them? Is that why?
Okay, I'm sorry, can you ask again?
Yeah, sorry, my connection's horrible. The thing is, when you said it helps with your relationships, people are drawn to, you said that people are drawn to someone that's more settled with themselves. Is that why people are more attracted, a lot of attracted to direct person, the person that kind of shoots from the hip? Does that make that more appealing? Yeah.
To me, the word isn't a direct person, but a self-aware person.
Yeah.
A self-aware person doesn't feel they're all good or all bad. A self-aware person could see the dark aspects of themselves and the light aspects of themselves. And if they can do that, they make room for others in their life and around them to be able to have those dark and light aspects of themselves without judgment.
Nice. Very approachable.
You know, for me, safety is huge. You know, there's a reason the name of my practice is To Be Human Psychotherapy. It's to embrace the entire kind of like the full light and ickiness of who we are. You know, and the more we embrace those parts of ourselves without judgment, which is coming out a lot more now, it's so much easier when you're in isolation and you're not moving forward in the pillars of your life that you want to move forward to be judging yourself. So I'd say aside from all the techniques you could possibly imagine that will help during this time, it's that one unconditional positive regard for, you know, that one kind of self-love,
yeah.
Yes. It really does. It's magic.
You know, all beautiful points. And sometimes you got to get back to the basics. I mean, you know, I like that you're giving us a tangible, digestible talk right now on this. And it doesn't have to be these crazy things. And it's something that we can all do. So it's approachable. And, you know, I would love for you to tell the viewers and listeners a little bit more about how you fell into this line of work. How did you start your practice? Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think that goes right along with what I was just saying in terms of knowing yourself. I mean, I'm a believer for almost any kind of, not just therapy profession, but anyone who's in the realm of healing or whatever you want to call it, that they go into the work because of their own wounded condition. So, you know, my own stuff,
My own stuff,
you know, a lifetime of joy, my own joys and my own sufferings. And in my quest for my own kind of healing and understanding of who I am, I came into this probably without even realizing that at the time, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell us more if you'd like to share. Do tell.
Yeah, well, you know, about 12 years ago, I met an analyst, a Jungian analyst, and which is based off of Carl Jung's work in psychodynamic psychology. And just kind of changed it really changed my life and my whole perspective. And it brought, you know, a lot of them don't like to use this word spiritual, but it brought this spiritual element to psychological work for me that was really important. It was, we did a lot of dream analysis and dream work, which is something I do in my practice. And nice. I'm saying literally the dreams we have at night, because those dreams are an indication of what's happening inside of you. I mean, we treat them like this trippy thing that just happened. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I had this crazy dream. But we don't take a second to say, wow, life is moving through me in this time. And it's bringing me all this material and richness. And I was fascinated with it, and learning about who I was through that, and the healing it brought me. You know, I had, you know, a number of different things. A, with a neurological condition I had when I was younger, which left me body tics and pain in that way. A lot of childhood bullying, and a number of other experiences. You know, and I said, okay, my psyche and my body is just kind of struggling here. And it was such a moving experience to have my own analyst who helped me with that I liked it. And if I'm being quite honest, I just like the nature of the work. I mean, you get to be close and intimate in a way with a person, and you get to go into a deep place that we always have to ask permission for in our waking lives. in the therapy room, you know, you still want to make sure the person's comfortable, but it's kind of assumed there's a level of depth that happens here that we don't do when we're not here.
Yeah.
And I love that.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
I love that it comes from a place of you just developing yourself and finding yourself. I mean, how organic and amazing is that? And, you know, I'll shift a little. What do you find, you know, with entrepreneurs is like a common thread that you find with us? I know this is kind of a hard question and you probably didn't expect it, but I thought I'd throw it out there. you know, what makes an entrepreneur kind of who they are in your experience? You know, what do we share in common, do you think? Besides motivation. But
wow, it's a really good question.
And you can return to it. I mean, I don't know why. No.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, I like to let these things land for a second, but I'm happy to answer. you know, the first thing that came to mind, the word, I know this is going to sound silly, but hustle came to mind. There's like,
oh my gosh,
I had this mouse pad. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I had this like flashback to like, you know, like buying and selling used books at a garage sale when I was like 14 years old and then reselling them somewhere else. And, you know,
hell
like,
yeah.
There was some weird addiction with treasure hunting, you know, but to me, it wasn't until I got older that I realized it was an indication of a few things for me. One, it was my own inner search that I was looking for, but I got a rush from feeling growth. I think entrepreneurship is essentially, if you take the humanness in it, it's really about growth. It's how do I expand myself? People always, they always associate it with the expansion of money. It's really about the expansion of money, which is a part of how we find our value, right? We see some of our value in monetary gain, but I think it's a reflection of something bigger that people are always saying, how do I get higher? You know?
Yeah.
And they might necessarily talk about it as higher, you know, in the business you have, but they might not be aware that, hey, I just want to become higher as a human being. I want to feel my greatest potential. And it's kind of beautiful when you don't just look at it as, hey, trying to hustle and how do I make the next buck? It really comes from a really special place, I think.
That's so badass. I love that insight. It's like, you know, some of the things you think you know, and then you're just shining a light on stuff to kind of highlight it. And what a beautiful memory you have of the treasure hunt and, you know, and refurbishing things and selling it. I can remember hustling, as you put it, at a young age. You know, here comes Monique, you know, in the neighborhood selling candy for the, you know, the school, whatever the school is doing. You know, here she is with her window washing business. I mean, I was always hustling. I was always like, I can't wait. I remember, now that you bring the treasure hunt up, I had to be maybe 9, maybe 8, and there was a yard sale. And I remember I bought a wallet. It was my first wallet. It was just so precious to me. And I was like, I can't wait to make my own money and put in this wallet. And I guess you kind of, maybe you're born with it, you know?
That's special.
It could be environmental. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I love that story. I love that story, and I'll tell you why I like stories like that. Because it people have this tendency to you know look at anything that has to do with the material world as superficial.
Sure,
it's like, hey, but look at the way we're talking about it. It was really some other part of you. It was like, I can't wait to fill this up. It's like you're filling up your cup, your wallet. It's like I'm responsible for this life and then for this thing that I have, and I like. Stories, you know, they put the humanness and the spirit back in careers that for some reason to get this bad rap around. Hey, it's not about humanity. It's not about growth. It's not about those things. But
yeah, I love what you're saying, and thank you for putting into terms that we can digest and saying, you know, entrepreneurship is about growing yourself. And a lot of people say, you know, it's great to see you reinvent yourself. You know, right now I've had to shift like a lot of us. You know, instead of doing events, you've come to some of my, you know, you've been invited to some of my events. Instead of doing like in-person events, I've had to shift a lot of things to online. Even though I had an online presence, everything is now podcast. Everything is now, you know, interaction online. It has to be. And that's another reinvention, you know, is writing the article. And I think this is a really good time as entrepreneurs. We can do that. We can give ourselves permission, like you said, to journal or pick something else up that's creative and, you know, filling up our cup. So I love it. Yeah.
And remind yourself when you're doing that, it's supposed to be uncomfortable because you haven't done it this way. And you haven't done this. I mean, if we're really talking about this being a time of transforming and adjusting, it's not going to feel good at the beginning, and that's okay. You can keep going in that direction, even if it doesn't feel good. Doesn't mean you're a failure of any sense. It just means you're trying something new here.
You're growing. I like that. It is supposed to be uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
I forget that part.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, thank you for mentioning the money thing. Yes, it is about making money and taking care of yourself. And there's nothing wrong, you know, with owning that. Ianla, I'll refer to her again. You know, yes, but it is growing yourself. But you know what? Give yourself permission to make money. Money's beautiful. You should love money. You don't have to love it over people, but you should love money, right? I mean, my own energy yield is what she says it stands for, the acronym for money. And I like that. You know?
Yeah. In a way, for me, I equate it with opportunity, with space, space, freedom, and opportunity to do whatever you want to do with this life, you know?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, why don't you plug your handles and where everyone can find you and, you know, tell us where we can link up with you.
Oh, sure. Let's do that. Social media is a little newer for me, but.
Okay.
Yeah, so right now I'm offering my psychotherapy services, and if I'm being very open with the different ways I'm doing it, is I'm offering my full fee psychotherapy services for people who can afford it, and then I'm also doing pro bono work for essential service providers, where I'm offering 10 free sessions for anybody who qualifies as an essential service provider. So
really kind of.
Yeah, and it's kind of an honor system. There are people I'm able also to do sliding scale with my fees sometimes. So it's really these different tiers, and I try to be open to the outreach work and obviously the people who can afford my fee as well. You can find me at To Be Human Psychotherapy on Instagram, or my full name, Saman Kazani, on Psychotherapist on Facebook.
Saman, you are just a ray of sunshine to my Sunday. Thank you for making this more human and, you know, us crazy bunch of entrepreneurs out here, you know, thank you for making this tangible for us in this really crazy time. And you stay well, and thank you for the beautiful service you're doing for the essential workers and your service.
Thank you for being the space, and I love that we got to do this through video. It was nice to connect that way.
Hell yeah. I'll be seeing you soon.
Yep.
Thanks, Saman.
All right. Take care.
Take care, dear.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, guys. Saman's going to check out right now, but we've got Skylar coming up. He has a new app. It's called Cypher. And I think the name is beautiful. If you're a hip-hop fan, you know what a cypher is. If you don't, we'll have to explain that to you. And we'll just get the backstory and how he started his new career and his app. And right now, I want to plug, if you're not following me on Instagram, I don't know why, you should try on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. It's Monique LeRae Stinson. And is Skylar there? Okay, Monique LeRae Stinson on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And we have a page for this show. So it's The Start with Monique LeRae. Hey, Skylar!
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Great. Look, we're matching a little bit. I've got my red on and got...
I like it.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining us on The Startup. Please go ahead and say your name and who you are and introduce yourself.
So my name is Skylar Sarabia. I'm the CEO of Cypher Music, and we are a new social music platform. It's an iOS app, and we're going to be launching pretty soon. So we're still in our beta phase for the app, but hopefully early June, we're going to be launching on the App Store.
That is so amazing. Congratulations. And, you know, to be 21 and be a CEO is super cool. I love it. I wish I had known I was going to be an entrepreneur when I grew up. I would have totally tried to do it younger, but hey, you know. So
thank you.
Tell us Yeah, no, hell yeah. So why don't you tell us what Cypher means for those people who don't know Cypher, and tell us how you came up with this idea.
So I'll start with when we came up with this idea. So we started Cypher 3 years ago, me and my buddy, when we graduated from high school. And, okay. You know, we wanted to share music, like a social music network. And then we just slowly started developing the idea from there and just put in the work and, you know, started developing it and figured out all the different business hurdles that we had to figure out, you know, how to make an app, because we knew absolutely nothing when we started. and, you know, we just kind of came up with the name. We were just trying to think of cool names, I guess, for the app. And then we came across Cypher. And if you look Cypher up, it means blending two surfaces. So we're trying to blend like the social media and the music together, is kind of blending two surfaces. So that's where the name Cypher comes from.
I absolutely love that. And, you know, it took me back, because I'm old school hip hop, right? So I'm 42. So I remember, like, you know, Busta Rhymes and, you know, Wu-Tang, and, you know, I'm old school. But back in the hip hop, as you probably know, Cypher is like for people to get into a circle and battle and do their thing for hip hop. So it's kind of cool that it has that double meaning in,
yes.
In
yes.
You know, you probably knew that already. So, all right. So let's break it down for some of our viewers and listeners who don't know what iOS means, that are newer to, you know, technology, as all of us are kind of having to do a deep dive into technology now. Can you explain what iOS is and how people can find the app?
Absolutely. So iOS is just the operating system for iPhones. So basically, if someone says, you know, this is for iOS, that means that the app is for iPhones. So you can find us on our Instagram, cypher.app, cypher.app. That is also our website. And if you go there, there's instructions on how to access the app right now. For early testing, we're doing this little beta program to, you know, see what users like, and then just iterating on feedback from users before we launch. And then once we launch, it'll be a lot easier to download on the Apple App Store.
I'm so excited for you. So let's say you have an idea for an app and you want to implement it. What tips do you have for young entrepreneurs that can, you know, that they can access right now while in quarantine?
What I would do is I would first research and, you know, see if there's an opportunity, like if that app already exists, you know, because I've had so many app ideas, and then, you know, you look it up and you're like, oh, that already exists. So I guess that would be the first step. And then, you know, once you have a really cool idea, you know, I guess you would just have to find maybe like a really good team of people to help you, you know, because you get more work done when you're working with other people. And then, you know, just kind of, if it's an iOS app, you know, or an app, you're going to have to find some developers, maybe some capital. Yeah. If you don't develop yourself, you know, to pay people to develop your app. So maybe it just kind of depends on the specific. Maybe, you know, this idea is better as a website too, you know? So like, who are you trying to sell it to?
Yeah, know your audience. I think that that's really good advice. How did you know, Skylar, you were going to be an entrepreneur? When did you know? And how did you, you know, get after it so quick, you know, at 21?
So I've just always liked like building things, you know. I mean, I don't want to sound cliche, but like, I just like building things, you know. So I think, you know, taking a side project and then just putting, you know, a couple of years of work into it, just because it took us a while to get to, you know, where we are. But I think for me, just finding something I really like doing and then just keep working at it, because, you know, the hard work does pay off. So, you know, I like the results, you know, so you get, it's just really rewarding if you just put in the work. You know, eventually you're going to get to where you want to be.
I'm so excited for you. So tell us, can you share a little bit more about the app exactly? Or are you going to wait for us to like unveil it?
I would love to talk about the app. Yeah. So the features, right? So at its core, Cypher is a social music platform. So our social features allow you to post music, pictures, text, like a musical community. So people are posting underground music that maybe you haven't heard before to expand your musical taste. You can have a musical profile. And then, you know, we're really excited about our live stream features. So we have two primary live stream features. The first one is called our live radio. And what you do is you connect your Spotify account to your Cypher account. And then when you start listening to music in Cypher, it creates a live broadcast within the app. So anybody else who has Spotify can join in and listen live exactly what you're listening to and then chat with you. So, you know, on Instagram Live, you can live stream video. Cypher is all about live streaming music. And there's a complete chat and a share button. So you just send a link to your friends. They click on it and they're just instantly listening with you. And then we also have... I'm breaking up a little bit, maybe.
Okay, sorry about it. We're having a little technical issues today. Let's try it again.
Were you able to get everything? Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I can actually hear. I don't know if you... Okay, so go ahead.
And then, so our second live stream platform is tailored more for artists. We have started scheduling artists to live stream live on our app, and then users can tip them directly through Cash App. And then we're also building out more artist to fan like transactions, like live experience for shopping and stuff like
this that. This is so smart. I love this. This is like perfect timing, by the way, for this app.
It is good timing. I actually just read an article on The Verge that said Twitch's music and performing arts category increased 300% since last year, which is, that's huge, you know?
That's so huge. And probably, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
It makes us really excited because the timing for our launch and, you know, the timing that so much live streaming is happening right now, we think it's a really good time this app to be released.
This is really encouraging, Skylar. I'm loving every minute of it. And do you recall MySpace? Because that was back in the day.
I do not. I never had a MySpace account. I think that was a little bit before my time, but I am familiar with MySpace.
Yeah. Some of this reminds me of that a little bit because now it's a music. I think it's just all music is where that lives they have that going on. But there was a show called Farm Club, and it had a mix of performers you knew and then performers that wanted to be known, and they all came together and then the viewers would vote on what band or musician should be, you know, the winner, or it was a competition or something. So this reminds me of that as well, and it reminds me of a lot of things. So you've been able to kind of put a lot of the cool things together in one app. Can you tell the listeners and the viewers where you expect it to go, like this time next year, where do you expect this app to be?
So this time next year, the first thing we want is a lot of users, right? Because if we want artists to live stream on our platform, there's got to be a lot of users to watch, you know? So we're hoping that, you know, with the growth of our app and the user base is going to come a lot of artists and also their fans, you know, because, you know, let's say artists want to live stream on Cypher because maybe they make more money when they live stream through Cypher rather than the other live stream platforms. You know, they're going to bring their fans, and then, you know, it's just the network effects are going to make more artists possibly want to live stream. So hopefully, you know, we can be the central hub for artist live streams next year. That would be awesome.
I mean, the sky truly is the limit with this, Skylar. I mean, you think of Coachella, you know, collaborations, you think of so many cool things that your app, helps that you could do with it. I mean, do you have a vision for other business models to be on the app as well? Maybe people who do like psychic readings or talk shows like this, or, you know, besides just music, are you thinking down the line maybe?
We're building out this live stream platform, and, you know, we want to tailor it towards music and towards artists because the app is like a music app, you know, but we were also thinking, you know, like, let's just make this an experiment and see how it does. And if this can apply to more categories, this live stream and, you know, these different integrations that we're going to do with our live stream, you know, I think that could totally open up doors to different industries, not just music and artists, but anything that has to be live streamed. And, you know, you want to sell things on live streams or sponsorships. We were also thinking it'd be cool to have hosts, you know, and get the viewers more engaged, because I think gaming live streams are very, you know, that industry is huge, and it's very like interactive while you're watching, just because, you know, gamers are talking directly to their audience. and you know, you're watching the live stream. If you're just watching a music live stream, I don't know if that's so engaging for the watcher. You know, you might not want to watch it for too long. So we want to make it so the users can interact with the artists more during these live streams and not just have it so one-sided.
I think it's brilliant. I feel kind of like I'm getting a sneak peek of the next billionaire and something really cool. And it's just such an honor. I'm geeking out right now, okay? I
like that you say sneak peek, because when we launched our beta, we threw like a little concert in a club and it was called Cypher Sneak Peek. That was like the whole, thing. Yes.
Oh yeah, I love that. Such a geek now. So tell the listeners and the viewers, you shared with me that you're in school. What are you studying right now?
I'm studying computer science. So I just finished my studies at my community college. I went to Saddleback Community College in Orange County, and then I'm transferring to UC Berkeley next semester for computer science.
Congratulations. That's cool. All right, Skylar, well, why don't you tell us some more fun facts about your app and how we can follow you and find you and download and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So the app, our website is Cypher, Cypher.app. That is also our Instagram handle. And we're doing, it's not for sure yet, but we're planning a parking lot concert in LA next month. So that could be cool. I'll have to update you on that.
Absolutely.
With the social distancing stuff, you know, we don't know if we can pull it off, but we think we can, and that could be super cool. And that will be live streamed in app. We also do all of our live streams on our website. So if you don't have an iPhone, when we're sending out links to the live stream, you can also view that on our website and check it out, the live chat and everybody chatting about the artists and donations and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, I saw someone at Trader Joe's parking lot the other day, and they were totally having a tailgate in the parking lot. It was like four trucks, and they had their blanket and their, you know, their soda, and they all friends kind of chatting. Maybe it'll be a Cypher tailgate, socially distanced.
Yes. Because some of my friends have been going to the drive-in movie theaters, and you know, we were thinking, what if we just did a drive-in concert? That could be kind of cool, you know?
That's so great. You got to think outside the box right now. So I love it. Well, thank you so much for making time, and congratulations on your app. And we're going to be looking for this tailgate or this thing you got going.
So. Well, thank you so much for letting me come here and tell you about my app and, you know, your listeners. It's very cool.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Check back with us and give us updates.
I will.
All right. Be safe, Skylar.
All right, you too.
Cheers. All right, you guys, that was Skylar. He's super awesome. Check out his Cypher app. I'm following it. I'll actually hashtag him and tag him on the Instagram page, The Startup with Monique LeRae. And, you know, that just kind of motivates me, you know, to see someone, this young man at 21, you know, going to Berkeley and kind of just going for his dream really early. So, you know, hey, if you've got an idea, you can make this happen and at any time in your life, you know, and it's never too late if you're an entrepreneur at heart. And now in quarantine, you can realize some of your dreams, and congratulations to that team. That is so cool. We'll definitely be following and downloading once that's ready. And I want to do some shout outs. Let's do some sponsor shout out, shall we? Michael Solberg Family Wines, you know, that's my buddy Leah. MichaelSolbergsFamilyWines.com, actually. She's got really great wine at an approachable price, under $20, I believe, before shipping and handling. You'll have to check online. I believe that's the price point these days. So a shout out to her. And I should be bringing, do I have a bottle so I can show you guys? I'll bring one on air next time, okay? I think you've seen posted and drink before on New Year's or something. I want to give a shout out to Regan First Medical. You know, they do a really good job over at Regan. I want to give you their phone number. Hey, Leah. She just texted me. Their number is 949-677-7960. Regan.com. Dr. Shalana Bogard over there in Costa Mesa. And I know that a big shout out to Dr. Bogard. I know she's up north in San Francisco. helping people and being the hero that she is. So thank you so much for everything you do, and please keep yourself safe. And yeah, if you guys are, if you know of any essential workers, please reach out to Saman. I said his name right this time, Saman. And he is offering therapy. So if you need it, if you need help, just reach out. You know, it's no time for pride. Got to drop that and get what you need, and appreciate everything that you guys are doing out. So shout out to you guys. I want to give a shout out to Jennifer McCray. She's our nurse friend in the Midwest, and she's doing, you know, lifestyle coaching. So if you are looking to change your career this time and you're not quite sure where to go, she is a really great life coach, and her number is 605-376-1656. So if you're just kind of looking to see what you could change and do different and switch gears, she's your girl. And that's Control Alt Gen. That's her company. So, yeah, I just wanted to tell everybody to keep your head up and stay inspired. Use some of Saman's tips that he gave us today. I think it was really great. Connect with yourself, reflect. Yeah. And, you know, hey, don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, we're all entrepreneurs. We're trying to make it happen. I want to give a shout out to my girl, Lady Ray J, and Toko out there in Missouri, Toko Radio. Thank you so much for your support and airing us out there. I think we made number 3 last week. So thank you guys for watching and listening to my show. What else do I want to cover with you? I think we've done it all. We've got a really cool show next week, you guys. We have Leah Solberg from Michael Solberg Family Wine. She'll be on. We need the wine lady here. Justin Mercer, he is the tattooed realtor. He's making headlines out of Arizona. He's got tattoos all over, and he's actually a really great real estate agent. So we need to cover real estate. We're trying to get all the things that we see are important right now with the pandemic. And you know, they're part of the pandemic posse, so they'll be on next week. We've got great shows coming up. Thank you for all the support for everybody. And what are you going to start up today? You know, let's find out. Start something up. Stay positive. Please stay physically distant. And let's just get through this so we can get back to work. All right, guys, be safe and, you know, take care of each other. All right. Have a good week. What will you start up today?
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.